Radio Influence. The future is now.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Monday edition of the Dark Delight Podcast with
Monday morning, Val and
Beans. Tis Monday.
Yeah, Monday after Palm Sunday.
Yeah, and yesterday was a great day.
Good for you.
Because it was Mr. Beans' birthday.
Good for Mr. Beans as well.
Yes. It was really good. It was a nice day with our little family gathering and talking. It was fun. And then I had a little trip on over the weekend and I got home and everything is all good again.
Good.
Yeah.
Very nice to hear.
Yeah. So did you... Let's get into some little local mumbo jumbo, shall we?
Sure.
So yesterday on Telegram, Lynn Wood announced that he's running for chair of the South Carolina GOP.
Well, I thought he was a Georgia boy.
Well, he apparently moved here several months back.
Okay.
And our chair now is this guy named Drew McKissick. There's a lot of things that you could complain about with our chairman currently. And one of them happened to come to fruition in my very county over the weekend. So reorg in South Carolina has been on fire. We've really done a fantastic job of getting people in every delegate slot and getting people seated and new people coming in and being engaged and ready to go and excited. And apparently that's not sitting so well with the state party.
No, to hell with them.
Because
to hell with the national party, too.
Yeah, so, I know.
This is good.
I know it's great. I mean, this has happened all over the country, but just so happens that I am involved here. So they sent over, a minion from the state party to the county where they were filling in and doing data entry and everything for the, you know, for the delegates that were coming in. And they sent this person in and seized all of the hard drives and flash drives and everything with all the information in it and took it back.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
That's against the rules. The state does not get involved in county reorganizations.
Where are we going from here?
I don't know. I mean, we have our county reorganization meeting on April 24th, where they elect the leadership for the county, the chair of the county, the vice chair and all that, and the EC, the executive committeeman for the county. And then those county representatives deal all together with the rest of the 45 counties with the state GOP.
These are all the fights and all the drama, the drama that is going to get little to no attention.
Well,
and it's just going to be going on. It's going to be fun to hear about.
Yeah. And the best part of it is, honestly, that, you know, they can do whatever they want to do. But the fact of the matter is that we have successfully reorganized the GOP to be representative of the people inside the GOP for South Carolina. So the votes, the delegate slots, all the people with a say are now filled, basically almost 100% of them, which never happens ever. And so because of that, they're like, oh, goodness me, oh my, what are we going to do? We're in trouble. And they're pulling nefarious nonsense to that effect. So let's just see what happens.
I can't wait. So far, it's been fun.
It's been a very dramatic experience so far, for sure.
So listen, once the entire thing is locked up and your state in particular has been flushed from head to toe politically on the GOP side, what is the what do you think? Has there been any speculation as far as what the first order of business is going to be from a completely new congregation?
Audit
of the voter rolls and stuff like that?
Figure out what the party finances have been doing, where they're allocated, what they're being used for, and then organization. Getting people ready to challenge things that we don't like at the legislative level, and organizing for good candidates for primary for 2022, and taking care of, you know, getting the legislators in the state to clean voter rolls and take a look at what's going on there, like all the business. But the first thing will be, how are people allocating funds and what are they being used for and why? And if it's little foo-foo get-togethers at the local, you know, whatever, for people to come and hobnob and wine and dine and all that, then I think that will be something that we look into. Cleaning up voter rolls, getting out the vote, making sure that that candidates that are running or primarying have good resources to support them, and making sure that we, you know, we have a voting system here in the state with integrity, because we use ES&S here.
Okay.
So then
here's the other thing: is it all, because I know a lot of states have this going on, but is it a closed primary there?
Nope.
Oh, you got to close that up.
Amen. That's one of the things we've been talking about.
That's got to get closed up immediately. Mm-hmm. Democrats voting in your primary.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, Presley, who we had on the show when you were, I did a side episode and we put it at the end because of time constraints. But he talked about what they did during the Joe Biden primary here. They literally went and voted for Bernie Sanders. They had a whole flood of people go over and vote for Bernie Sanders during the primary for the Democrats because of that. And they do it to us every time they send people in to vote in our primary. It's so stupid. And one of the things about South Carolina I never knew was that guess who appoints the judges?
Who?
The legislature.
Okay. So then it's even more important. Yeah.
And, you know, how do you argue with these reforms that we're looking for? I don't see how anybody could stand there and argue. It's almost like arguing against voter identification and trying to make it like, you know, like Joe Biden said in his press conference about it being disenfranchisement, and that 50% of Republicans, Frank, agree with him that it's disenfranchisement. I mean, I don't know what 50% of Republicans. He's maybe the Lincoln Project. I don't know who he's talking to.
Hey, I don't know either. When I heard that, I said, wow, I mean... It was you want to talk about magic and being able to say whatever the hell you want and have it become reality just because you know that you have people who are going to regurgitate it. I heard over the weekend there was briefly I was in a room when CNN was on, and I heard one of the hosts say that Joe Biden, get this, Tracy, do you know that right now Joe Biden is currently riding the momentum of his press conference?
Oh, really? There was momentum after that? Where? Down into the basement?
He created positive momentum. I guess he knocked it out of the park. they're nuts. It's just whatever the hell they want to see. I don't know. ABC News poll,
Frank, 60% of Americans disapprove of Biden's handling of the border crisis. 57% of Americans disapprove of Biden's gun control proposals. What is he riding? The wave to hell? What is he riding? Or is he already there?
I guess that was a lot higher than they thought he would be. I don't know.
Did you see the shoe? Speaking of hell.
What shoe?
The little.
Oh, yes. The Satan shoe.
Yes, the Satan shoe, which apparently Nike has absolutely no problem with at all.
No, they don't. And this is these are the revolutionary countries there. You want to be a rebel, you go to Nike, even though they created their fortune on slave labor. But, it's culture. You want every indication of the culture and where we are. That's it.
For those who might not know, Nike has created a shoe with this wrapper that they're only making 666 pairs of this shoe. There is a satanic symbol on it. It references a Bible verse that talks about a fall, you know, Lucifer falling, you know, a Luke verse that represents or references Lucifer coming to earth. And it contains human blood.
Yeah. At least a drop of human blood is inside the soul or something like that.
The soul. Isn't that funny?
Yeah. And they're issuing only 666 of them, and I think that's where the 1018, it's $1,018. I forgot what the significance of that is. Obviously, everything about the marketing is significant, so I don't know what the 1018 is about. Somebody tried to explain it.
Yeah, and this guy, this rapper, whoever he is, came out as gay, I guess, and he has like a very bad experience with that, I guess. And so he's turned into a devil worshiper now.
Good. Gay Satanist. That's great.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I don't even know what to say. You know, I've been spending a lot of time on TikTok, Frank.
Have you?
Yeah, I've created quite a few that have done pretty well.
So what are you doing?
Well, yesterday I did one about the fourth wave of coronavirus. Do you want to hear it? I'll play it for everybody.
Please.
There's a bunch of them. We'll go through some of them because they're pretty funny, I think, and pretty ironic and important here. I'm reading the article right now. I'm making faces like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh.
A fourth wave. What are we gonna do?
Can you imagine? As Americans brace for the 13,000th wave of the seasonal flu.
Americans brace this season for the 20,000th season of the cold.
This is what they're doing. How many waves are they going to go through?
Did you read the Bloomberg article about pretty much it's unlimited waves?
Oh, really?
Did you read that? Hold on. Where we have it? Here you go. This is from March 24th. Here's the headline. We must start planning for a permanent pandemic. With coronavirus mutations pitted against vaccinations in a global arms race, we may never go back to normal. That's a subtitle.
This virus isn't going to go anywhere.
If they have the power to categorize whatever the hell they want as whatever they want, then that's just it. And you know what? How is there ever really a way of making an audit of people who are infected? Truly, how is there ever a way to know that any number of just infected people, not dead people, you can account for people legally who have died in this country? And but what about people who are just infected? What's really stopping anybody from adding 10,000 infections on top of a pile over here? Or 20,000 over here, 5,000 over here.
Nothing. There's no standard.
There's no standard to anything. Honestly, I look at the tallying of these numbers at this point as YouTube manages Joe Biden likes and dislikes. That's the way I see it. You move a few over here, you delete 40,000 over here. I don't know how anybody could even go on into this except, once again, on faith alone that you're not being lied to. And when you see things like this, I wonder, wow, I understand at least a little bit why some gullible people who don't really dig beyond the surface of much can say, okay, you know what? I've had vaccines in my life before. I usually get the flu shot anyway. I'm going to go get this shot and hopefully that's the end of it. We can finally get back to normal. How can you even think that when they're telling you now in so many words? And it's being regurgitated by people on television. They're saying that this is your ticket to freedom. And meanwhile, they're saying you can't even take your mask off. Now they're saying we may never go back to normal. So why are you doing that? Why is anybody offering up their arms to this? I don't know.
It's crazy. It really is. Well, speaking of the vaccine, that's another thing that's going on TikTok that I wanted to talk about, which is absolutely insane. So there's apparently people are like making TikToks saying how they're getting like counterfeit vaccine certifications and stuff. And some of them, I guess, are healthcare workers. And they're saying they're joking around saying, going to get my counterfeit vaccine card or whatever. And there's these two women who I'm calling affectionately or disaffectionately vaccine Karens, who have literally taken to their TikToks, who have like a 500,000 followers on TikTok now. And they're going around and they're doxing these people live on TikTok. They're calling their employers. They're basically going after and stalking these people and their families to get them fired or shamed or whatever. And now the Legacy Media has picked up on it. And Legacy Media is writing articles about these individuals who
are heroes.
Well, of course. And then they're shaming the people who are making these joke TikToks. And it's really they get so much satisfaction out of it. Like, I don't understand this. Like, I don't know what could possess somebody to think that this was something noble.
Do you need any more examples as to why every major conspiracy theory that has to deal with people in power should be considered at least? I mean, you look at what happens when you give somebody an arbitrary amount of influence. You know, it doesn't matter if you are the night shift manager at a Rite Aid, or if you are a I don't know, if you're an administrator at a YMCA, or if you are just someone who feels like you have been given a certain amount of influence based on how many people follow you on TikTok. There is this arbitrary a feeling of authority that they love swinging it around.
Yeah.
And they love doing whatever the hell they want. And it's all political and it's all personal. And why the hell would anybody ever think that if you put real power in people's hands, they wouldn't go and try to reshape the whole damn world?
That's why CloudHub doesn't show follower count public facing.
Well, that's cool.
I started watching Social Dilemma yesterday with Will. Did you watch it?
No, but I've been told about it.
I watched about 3/4 of it, and then they started talking about Pizzagate, and I shut it off because it was obviously propaganda after that point. Not because of anything, you know, whether the truth or the falsity of it or whatever, conspiracy or whatever, but the way that they were started talking about like misinformation and disinformation on social media and how dangerous it is, except that 90% of the things they were mentioning are actually true and not misinformation. So then you know like the motivation behind the people that made this. So like I stopped watching it because I'm like, you know, I don't need to see this part. But they had a bunch of people that talk about the psychology behind social media. And it's everything that we know already. There was no groundbreaking information. But for Will, he was like, oh my God. Like he didn't really understand the depth of it. How like we are customers or not customers. We are the product, not the customer. And the psychology behind follower count and likes and social acceptance and what it's doing to kids and the suicide rate and how it's going up and, you know, all kinds of stuff as it relates to social media. And when Jeff was on the show, I don't know if you remember, but he said they spoke with a psychologist or a bunch of experts when they designed CloudHub, and they designed it to counter those elements of social media that are hurtful and harmful to society. And one of those was follower count. So
I did not know.
Yeah. So like, if nobody knows how many people follow you, your opinion is the same as the person with 5 followers, right? I mean, nobody's assigning more importance to you based on how many people are following you.
Oh, yeah. And you know so many, and you know that especially the type that goes after people on TikTok, they love people knowing how many people are following them.
It's crazy.
Because it just gets back around to that ridiculous fake celebrity complex everybody wants right now.
I know. And I used to like really, it used to bother me when like, you know, a lot of people took it very personally and as a success, you know, like, oh, I just crossed 200,000 followers. Thank you guys so much. You know, whatever. I always felt weird saying anything like that. Like I don't know. It just bothered me. Like I wouldn't be able to do it. Like that's, I don't know why. It's just like, that just means, I guess, that you're effective in presenting your message, right, Frank? I mean, the more people want to see what you have to say, the more successful you are, or the more effective you are, I should say. But it is a problem because you get these people that have, you know, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people following them, but they start thinking they're God.
Oh, yeah.
You get like this.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
God complex.
Yep.
And I have a problem on TikTok because I don't like to show my I hate being on camera. I hate it, as you know, which is why I love the podcast, because we could just sit here and talk and nobody's staring at your face. You're on camera every night, so it doesn't matter to you. But to me,
yep, I get over it.
It's horrible. But now I'm doing these TikToks and I'm talking and they're doing pretty well, actually. This one did the best out of all of them. You want to hear it?
Yeah.
Okay. Liberal hypocrisy. So Democrats all over the country right now are up in arms screaming about voter ID requirements being strengthened to vote in United States elections, claiming disenfranchisement, that people can't get to the DMV to get an ID, that people can't drive there, that they don't have the ability to use a computer or they're too stupid. However, they are advocating for vaccine passports. Yes, if you want to get back to normal life in this country, the only way to do it is to have a vaccine passport proving you've been inoculated with the COVID-19 vaccine. That, super easy. Anyone could just run out and get the vaccine. They're also saying it should be required to be held on your mobile device, assuming that every single person that could want this vaccine has a mobile device to store said passport on.
So you'd need this passport to go into sporting events, movie theaters, to travel on airlines, or even in some cases to go back to work. But they don't want to require you to have an ID to be able to vote in United States election. Hypocrisy. Liberal.
There you go.
Yeah, they have it. And you want to know the other thing there, too, is when you're talking about the fake vaccine cards, the easiest thing to have predicted was that there was going to be a black market popping up for these cards.
Well, they did it with the COVID test, too. And do you see how the Biden administration is going to implement this vaccine passport? It is so just absolutely hypocritically perfect, Frank, through what? Corporations.
Well, this is not... It's only hypocritical to the people who think that they had signed up by giving themselves over to this fake liberal death cult. It's only hypocritical for the people who have accepted that, thinking that they're actually going to get that and that they were striving toward that. And now they're going to have to find a reasoning why they're embracing all of the big corporations that they swore to defeat, even though it was so easy to see. It's all in the same, all the policies, all of the everything, all the policies, all the biggest donors. It all is big corporation, pro positive for big corporation, especially things like minimum wage. And when you look at what they're trying to test in cities around the country with universal basic income, it's almost all generated and sponsored by big businesses. Welfare is going to be largely funded by huge corporations sometime soon. This is the whole part of it. And of course it's fascism. They say that we're anti-fascist. Well, okay. Your party is trying to find a way where the biggest companies in the world can keep you alive. The government is going into business with corporations more and more every day. And,
and Biden's bringing them on board to his administration, like nothing.
Yeah, they want Mark Zuckerberg feeding poor people in California instead of trying to find a way to start reversing generational damage done by the system that they always talk about is so systemically harmful to everybody. They're actually right, technically. But of course, they diagnose the problems in all the wrong way and they're race hucksters. But the system is the problem. And they're just trying to make it even more inescapable. And even more of a slavery exchange,
which it is.
Yeah.
Like plain and simple. I mean, you know, the government can't mandate it. That's fine. Corporations, listen, airlines require it to travel. Movie theaters require it to get in. School districts, there's a lawsuit going on in California right now because the biggest school district in California is mandating their employees to receive the vaccine to be able to work there.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
New York. I'm waiting for the first lawsuit in New York. Where are you guys, New Yorkers, with this vaccine passport? Where are you with this, with what Cuomo's doing?
Yep, I was reading through that just last night. I thought it was just, it's bad enough that they wanted to do this for people to go to get any kind of sense of entertainment and release and going outside. But now that the fact that they want to create a network of businesses and people to volunteer into the slavery. See, it's not mandated. They just first they spend a year brainwashing people so that they have absolutely no free will. It's not mandated. It's just that you took away people's free will through propaganda for a year. And now these woke ass business owners all over the place are going to sign up for this vaccine passport and not allow people to come in and engage in commerce unless they can prove that they were inoculated. This is so messed up.
It is messed up, ridiculously messed up. And, you know, the almost the worst part of it is on top of all that. So you can't fly, right? You're not going to be able to fly anywhere. Fine. Then people are saying we won't fly. Then they're saying you're not going to be able to do anything basically that you want to do in terms of even I wouldn't be surprised if they start mandating it at state parks, Frank. I really wouldn't. So there's that. And then you've got Buttigieg saying we're going to start taxing you on your mileage. So now people can't even drive anywhere because they're going to be exorbitantly taxed on the miles they drive on their car. So,
and to think anybody signed up for this, you think that anybody would vote for this is hilarious. Nobody voted for this.
No. And let's pretend, for example, that you work in Manhattan. But you can't afford to live there. You can't afford to live in Queens either because it's absolutely ridiculous. So you live somewhere in, you know, on the coast of Jersey, and the drive for you isn't really that bad because you don't hit traffic on the way up. It's maybe 45 minutes to and from work. But it's 100 and something miles. Now what? Now you have to be paying every single day for those miles you're driving to get to work because you can't afford to live in the Democrat hellhole that you work in? Not like New Jersey is much better, but, you know.
They were rolling out mileage taxes, or at least they were testing out the idea of it in the Pacific Northwest when they started realizing that they were losing a lot of tax revenue from people going and buying into these ridiculous hybrid cars. So people went and they said, please buy hybrid cars. We need to stop the gas dependency. Please, the environment. Then everybody finally did it and they went, oh, man. All right, well, we're going to tax you on mileage instead because we ran out of money. So it's all a big scheme. In New York, they're also considering a few different ways to legalize marijuana, as you might have a guess was going to be coming. It'll probably be like a 20% tax or something like that. But they're desperate and they're broke, and of course they're completely anti-freedom. So,
well, anti-freedom is actually it should be the slogan for these people. Guy, breaking news, Frank. I was just about to talk with you about this, and here we are. Giant container ship that blocked Suez Canal set free.
Oh, yeah.
So the Ever Given, which is the container ship belonging to the company Evergreen, has now, after blocking this canal across the entire thing since Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. So 6 days, $400 billion in lost revenue per day. Let's just go through that for a second. Finally, it has been released and traffic is flowing again.
I guess that's good considering they said it might be blocked up for weeks and months.
Yeah, I guess they figured it out somehow in some feat of ingenuity. But the interesting thing about this is that there was a picture floating around over the weekend and a story, which a lot of people are saying this is all photoshopped, but I don't know. I'm like, I guess I'm 50-50 because so many people are so forcefully saying that this was photoshopped that there's got to be something to that. So I'm not really making an opinion either way, but there was supposedly an Evergreen truck blocking a highway in Taiwan.
Yeah, I did see that. And I did see people questioning the legitimacy of it, too.
I mean, I don't know the shape. But it's just very weird that all these Evergreen things are happening. And don't forget, this is the same ship, this Ever Given, that apparently traveled a path that drew a big penis.
Yeah, penis and butt, a big ass, too.
Did it really? Or yeah, that's what they said. People looking at the
they're looking at the ship tracks
and seeing what they want to see. Or do you think it really was?
I don't know. Nobody ever told me. I didn't see anybody suggesting that it was that part of it was fake.
No, it wasn't. That was actually real. But I'm just saying, was that done purposefully or are people just seeing it like, you know?
Oh, and I don't know how you can draw a dick and balls with a ship that is the size of the Empire State Building by accident. but then again, when you consider the maneuvers they were making, it makes you wonder. And then they got stuck in the canal. Was that the happy accident, or is this whole thing a troll job? But why? I mean, but it's akin to economic terrorism if you did it on purpose. Like you said, $400 billion a day. So I don't know. I just don't know. It's the crazy thing, because you think it was a joke at first. And then every day that went by, you realize, well, this is serious. So
it's crazy. It's a lot of other crazy stuff that happened over the weekend. I've got a clip to play for everybody here. This is Marco Rubio. I'm sure you've heard this, Frank. Up your alley. There's an ad on right now, though, because why wouldn't you try to make money? I don't want a Subaru. I have no desire to buy a Subaru whatsoever.
I heard Subarus are pretty solid.
Here we go.
You're on that Senate Intel Committee, man. I saw you guys are supposed, they're supposed to be, the government is going to actually have to put out everything they know about UFOs to the public. I guess it's not.
Well, for me, the whole thing was this, and that's why we put that language in there. People think about space aliens. For me, is there stuff flying over military installations, and no one knows what it is, and it isn't ours. So for me, that's logical. You want to know what it is, and it's common sense, right? If stuff's flying over the top of your most sensitive installations, and it's not ours, and no one knows whose it is, you should find out what it is and tell us.
I mean, are we going to get, like, the friendly aliens, you think? Honestly, should people be worried? I mean, I guess that's a better question.
Well, I think the worry is there's stuff flying over our facilities. And we don't know what they are, you know what I mean? So, yeah. I mean, that's the concern. Maybe it's got a logical explanation to it. But, you know, people want to know. I want to know what it is.
I mean, who's a bigger threat right now, do you think? I mean, people are always talking about, like, China's a big threat. But shouldn't we also be worried about what's else out in the universe?
Well, I wouldn't take it one step at a time, you know what I mean? I mean, I'm not saying that's what it's all about. Like I told you, I don't know. I don't know the answer to what it is. But it's stuff that's there. And
you're on an Intel committee. They don't even tell you what's going on?
Well, I think they tell us what's going on. I mean, there's stuff flying over the top of our military installations. They don't know who's flying. They don't even know what it is. So that's a problem. We need to find out if we can.
So just a quick question. Man. Everyone thinks, you know, we're the smartest out there in the universe, but are the aliens possibly smarter than what we are right now?
Well, if they made it all the way here, they probably are, yeah. They're probably more advanced. If they can get here and we can't get there, that tells you they're more advanced, but I don't know if there are aliens. I don't know if they've ever visited here. I'm not, you know, when you talk about that stuff, everybody gets, you know, stigmatized about it. No one wants to sound weird. My thing is very simple. We don't know what that stuff is that's flying over the top of our installations. Let's find out. Maybe it's another country, and that would be bad news, too.
But let's just say, hypothetically, one last question. Hypothetically, if somebody comes down, there's aliens, should Biden and should the government, should we try to be friendly with these folks, or should we look at it?
Man, I haven't think, given this, we have so many problems going on as it is, that would be one heck of a way to top the last year and a half.
Yeah.
Look.
Yeah, wouldn't it?
How far have we come that you can actually stop a sitting senator in the airport and ask him about aliens and he answers you?
Well, I guess so. I think it's more hilarious that so many years has been put into building up this PSYOP that could have been used for some sort of a last ditch effort or a grand ploy. And at this point, nobody even gives a damn. Nobody cares.
No, because they're I know. Isn't that crazy?
Nobody cares. They spent so many years. Think about the hundreds, if not thousands, of books and comics and video games and movies, Men in Black movies, all this stuff to build up one thing or another. And then comes 2017 around December and they start up with the Washington Post and the New York Times, the Tic Tac object, Oumuamua comes in and out of our solar system, and now every day it's more and more, and nobody cares. If this was, I keep saying it, if this was, we're coming up on spring 1996.
Well, if it
and
was,
you're bringing this up, man.
Yeah, or when Greer was supposed to speak before 9/11.
Yeah, it's nuts.
They're releasing a whole bunch of, like, even, you know, Ratcliffe was saying stuff about this last week. This isn't like some, you know, tinfoil hat nonsense, although maybe we should start wearing tinfoil.
It never was. That's the whole thing. It never was.
I know.
What?
Where'd it never was. It never was. And then my microphone completely shut off. So everything stopped. So you have to start again. Okay.
Well, I said, I pretty much said it never was. It was never really about tinfoil hat. Never was. What we're really looking at here is the difference between confirmation and disclosure. People have had confirmation of strangeness in the skies, interdimensional activity, strange energy meridian activity, and non-human entities. There's been plenty of confirmation out there that has been poo-pooed as crazy, people who saw something they don't understand, whatever the hell it is. That's been going on for a long time, and people know something's up. Disclosure is the ability for a perceived authority to come on out and tell us something that we didn't know, and that's what they have been reserving for themselves. Disclosure on a governmental process, I would never trust. Never, especially
completely. The Podestas of the world are running around with it.
Yeah, they've been John Podesta, and that's another thing. Stephen Greer, he's been pretty fair about how those types have kind of sandbagged him. But anytime you checked out some, I mean, at least the unacknowledged documentary he put out, I don't know, maybe 4 years ago or something like that. Great documentary until we get to the credits, and there's John Podesta talking about why UFO the disclosure is important. I'm like, yeah. John Podesta's in this thing?
Yeah.
All right, great.
Yeah, I can't believe that was 4 years ago already, because I was so excited to see that, and I watched it and then saw him, and I was like, oh.
Yeah.
And that's actually how, what's his name, from Blink-182 started getting involved. What's his name?
Well, he put out another one last summer called Close Encounters of the Fifth Kind, and he took a pretty good step back from trusting any one political side of things. Yeah, it was a little bit, it was a lot more neutral. But of course, the content of that one was, not only was it really great material about, once again, confirmation and people's encounters and stuff like that, but he spent a little bit more time talking about his meditation methods, which is, that's what CE5 meditation is, Close Encounters of a Fifth Kind, where you're actually able to, it's almost like astral projecting to give coordinates, your coordinates, to an alien presence. And they've had really freaky and pretty amazing results. I would never do it.
Yeah, but I was going to say pass. I'm good.
Yeah, well, yeah. So that's pretty much part of the latest documentary that came out last year. Still a good watch. If you've got nothing going on the weekend, I would still rent it on Amazon for a couple of bucks and watch it. It's interesting, but I don't know.
Lazar came out with there's a documentary about Bob Lazar now, which I started watching. He was a guy who worked at Area 51.
S4.
Is that the same thing? I'm not like an aficionado.
It's it's there. It's the same complex, I'd say, yeah.
And he came out and he was a whistleblower, basically called into the news and told them, you know, we don't know what this stuff is. We can't recreate it. We don't have the technology. They've got it here. And they're looking at this, and his life took a different turn after that. That's for sure. And I guess he's been quiet for a very, very long time. And then they did this Netflix documentary and he came out and started talking. But the bottom line is this, you know, they're releasing this stuff now, like it seems like at a rapid pace. And you've got to wonder what the motivations behind it. I mean, they slipped it into the coronavirus relief package, Frank.
Right.
So I guess that was one line the Democrats didn't read. But the problem is this. They also asked for declassification of all the Spygate documents, and we haven't seen that yet. So why are they following this rule or law and not the other ones that are in? You know what I'm saying? Like, they follow this one, but not the others? You don't know what the motivations are. You really just
No, you're never going to get consistency. So just day by day, taking it as it comes.
Day by day. And I got to say again, guys, if you want to join up with the fam here, go to the show notes and find the Telegram link to the Telegram group, the Dark to Light podcast, where people are sharing all kinds of great information, some great, some completely ridiculous, other stuff that, you know, just makes you scratch your head. Just people talking and sharing stuff. And it's just a really great group. I love it. I really love it. I love everyone in there.
Yeah, it's pretty healthy discourse.
And, you know, people disagree all the time in there and nobody ends up hating each other somehow. It's amazing.
Yep. It is. And I dropped in a couple of times this weekend.
I saw that. People, the where's Frank / Waldo meme is getting a little, you know, they can't use it so much anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's all right. I had a little, it was good. It was good. And you can't deny how fun things are getting in our own little, I feel like everybody's having to run to basements and have these secret conversations. And like Telegram has been like the digital cantina. People get to go there and have their conversations without any overt attacks going on. So
yeah. Yeah.
It's been nice.
Yeah. Oh, Naomi Wolf. Do you know, here, Where'd it go? I had a clip. Naomi Wolf came out with an interview where she's talking here on.
I am not overstating this. I can't say it forcefully enough. This is literally the end of human liberty in the West if this plan unfolds as planned. Vaccine passport sounds like a fine thing if you don't understand what those platforms can do. I'm CEO of a tech company. I understand what this platform does. It's not about the vaccine. It's not about the virus. It's about your data. And once this rolls out, you don't have a choice about being part of the system. What people have to understand is that any other functionality can be loaded onto that platform with no problem at all. And what that means is it can be merged with your PayPal account, with your digital currency. Microsoft is already talking about merging it with payment plans. Your networks can be sucked up. It geolocates you everywhere you go. Your credit history can be included. All of your medical history can be included. I am not overstating.
She's not lying.
They're making the play.
And they want to put it on the blockchain. They were very quickly able to develop this, Frank. But they couldn't develop it for voting, of course.
Yeah, no. They're making the play. It's been a long time coming. And I don't know. Eyes on the sky, I guess.
Yeah, it's crazy. There was also something absolutely horrible that happened.
Yeah.
Over the weekend with these two teenagers who murdered a Uber
Asian man. An Asian man.
Was he Asian or Syrian?
Asian.
Well, I guess Asian is Syrian. Yeah.
There's your anti-Asian violence.
And they literally stepped over his body as he was convulsing because one of them left their phone in his car. And CNN reported it as teens attack Uber Eats driver, causing fatal accident.
Yeah, it's murder. It's murder. And the two teens are two black girls. And of course, that's part of the problem that anybody who pays attention, who gives a damn about civil society, will start realizing that the people who are trying to really tear a society apart, how they use their race baiting in a certain way. So they destroy everybody. They destroy everybody's togetherness. And anytime that you see teen and there's no description of the assailant, it's usually a member of a protected class because they need to keep the narratives focused solely in one direction as they continue to implode the West. And anybody, regardless of their color, who cares about living peacefully and freely would reject this and want anybody to be brought to justice when they commit a wrong act, but they don't care. They don't care. When it was the summer of discontent last year, too, you know, 8-year-old girls getting killed in drive-through lines at Wendy's by protesters, and that was quickly buried because they wanted these protests to be seen as peaceful and some kind of a new age civil rights movement that was all on the up and up. They don't care about who dies. They don't care about who's what the racial makeup is, the background is. They don't care about good or bad. They just care about winning and power. And you can tell when you see somebody's life extinguished in this way and the scrambling to make it seem like it was something that it isn't.
I couldn't even watch it.
No, it's awful. It's awful because that man that is just crumpled up dead on the sidewalk after being flung from a car from this animal that hijacked him. That's somebody's father. It's somebody's best friend, family member, crumpled up dead on the floor. All he was doing was went out to make some money and to work.
Did you see what Bowser did?
Who?
Mayor Bowser?
No.
Hold on a second. I'm going to pause it. So right after this happened, like after it had been on socials for a while, and I guess it was the same day from what I understand, Mayor Bowser tweeted, "Auto theft is a crime of opportunity. Follow these steps to reduce the risk of your vehicle becoming a target."
Oh, okay. I guess number one is don't own a vehicle. Don't own a vehicle and it won't get stolen. It's like we shouldn't live in a, we shouldn't have any standards of being in a, living somewhere where a crime is severely punished and deterred, and that the culture isn't falling apart at the seams where, whatever. This is the London approach. It's part and parcel of living in a big city. Terrorism, acid attacks, machete attacks, rape.
It's.
Yeah, this is the honest living that they want to give everybody.
It's really gross. I mean, the whole thing is just horrible. It's just horrible. There's no other words for it. I hope those girls face absolute justice. Speaking of justice, real quick before we round up the show today, I've been reading every single lawsuit, Frank, of the people who were charged in the Capitol issue.
Mm-hmm.
Because I want to see what the government's doing here and what their deal is. 99% of these cases so far, the people are arrested and in jail right now because their neighbors and friends turned them in.
Unbelievable.
You know, we saw a video that she posted on Snapchat and we know these people for this long and, you know, whatever, whatever, whatever. And there was a guy that came out. I forget his name and I forget the video. Somebody out there will remember. But he was approached after the January 6th thing by the FBI. And he recorded the entire interaction where they were trying to get him to flip on or to act as an informant for the Oath Keepers. It was before January 6th that it happened. And they mentioned January 6th in the video. I got to find it and I'll try to find it and share it in the Telegram room. I think that's where it first was. And he released this video of him with these FBI agents just the other day, like a week ago or so, I think it was. And they are basically like, you know, they had no reason to come talk to him other than that they thought he would be able to snitch on anyone planning anything for that day. But literally, like, everybody in these cases was turned in outside of one. I've read about 25 of them so far. And everybody outside of one was turned over by their family and relatives.
That's just...
It makes me kind of sick inside, to be honest. A lot of them are saying in here, but they just opened up the doors for us. Like, people are shocked. They were shocked at the time anyway. Like, they literally just stood there and let us in. I had no idea I was breaking the law. What the hell is this? You know, they're like stunned that they're being arrested because they weren't doing anything violent or anything. A lot of them just walked in, walked around and walked out.
Yeah.
But now they're potentially up for sedition.
Wow. Sedition.
Yeah. They're talking about sedition.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know how anybody can have really any faith in anything at this point.
James Comey's not charged with sedition, Frank.
Exactly. To see what has been. What has been ignored to be able to come after taxpayers, the people who theoretically keep this entire scheme afloat.
Wednesday, we have Marjorie Taylor Greene joining us.
That should be fun.
Yeah, she's going to be able to give us a half hour of her time on Wednesday. So we'll have a half hour show, a half hour of our wonderful interview with Marjorie Taylor Greene, which should be great. I'm really glad we get to speak with her. I want to talk with her about, like, how she feels, honestly. Like, put yourself in her shoes. She's just being completely, you know, whatever you want to say. I don't know if you know how many, I'm going to look it up right now. Green election results. I think she won by some ridiculous, here. That is the primary. The candidates. Hold on, I'm pausing.
I know. What state again?
Georgia.
Georgia.
She won by 74. She won 74% of the vote, almost 75% of the vote. And they want to try and remove her from office. And Pelosi, sure. the other day, Pelosi was like, well, if I have the right to seat whoever I want in the House as Speaker.
I heard that one. Like I said, I don't know where that authority comes from. I haven't seen it expressed anywhere.
We did a story at Uncover DC about what she's trying to do to unseat the representative from Iowa who won her election and then won a recount and was seated and sworn in, and then the person running against her went to the House of Representatives using some like ridiculous, never used statute to try and have the House do their own investigation to unseat her and seat someone else. Which, what's the point at that?
What is the point? Yeah.
And why are they so desperate for more House votes if they've got such a solid coalition on the Democrat side?
I don't know. Well, I mean, I guess it's all just about effect and all about playing to the public still. But like you said before, what's the point of electing representatives if ultimately the representative that you send to Congress, it can be checked by the House leader, the opposition party? It's like, so it does. You have to vote alongside of what Nancy Pelosi is approving of to be able to have representation in the United States House of Representatives. That's a pretty interesting concept. I'm sure that was part of the original plan.
Yeah. When is she going away?
I don't know.
I mean, she's so old. Come on, Nancy, hang it up. Seriously? Like between her and Feinstein.
No, these people don't let go. They can't let go. Well, I mean, just look at the way that they do themselves up with the surgery and the fashion and the hair and all that stuff. They don't recognize themselves as 80 years old. They really believe that how am I going to get another 30 years out of this? I can't die.
I mean,
you know, seriously.
Yeah, like just looking at Nancy Pelosi and everything she does to herself to try and like she's the best thing is looking at Randy Savage's parody videos of Nancy Pelosi. Did you ever see Hublet?
No. Where is she still posting?
Yeah, she has YouTube.
Oh, I didn't even know this.
Yeah.
I feel like I haven't seen anybody in so long, ever since the Twitter really started getting.
Yeah, you got to get into the Brendan Dilley fan club room. She's in there all the time.
Gotcha.
But yeah, she's still doing stuff. She's hysterical. I love her. But that's it for today, Frank.
Well, thank you for having me.
You have been listening to the Dark to Light podcast with
Monday Morning Val and
Beans. You can hear us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 2:30 Eastern Time on TuneIn, Stitcher, Apple iTunes, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and RadioInfluence.com. Until our Wednesday show.
We'll see you then. Later.
I'm Jerry P. Tuck, CEO of Radio Influence. I just wanted to take a quick moment to say thank you for downloading and subscribing to this podcast. There are a lot of people behind the scenes here at Radio Influence that work hard to keep you entertained day in and day out. If you'd like to get involved and advertise on this program, or you have some show ideas that you'd like to see us add to the Radio Influence family, please email us at contact@radioinfluence.com. We all have crazy schedules, so the fact that you took time out of your busy day to let us entertain you for a while means a lot. Without you, the listeners, we wouldn't exist, so thank you again for downloading and subscribing to this show. Don't forget to check out radioinfluence.com to see what other shows we also have to offer. All of Radio Influence's programming can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and of course, radioinfluence.com.